The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. More painful than a Tyrannosaurus Rex stepping on your testicle. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. You are listening to the Odyssey Files at 6 o'clock on Monday night. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, back from a week of what I thought was rest and relaxation, turned out to be frustrating and irritating, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Sawyering. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm wonderful. Yeah, great. I did have a good couple days off. I had some good times. It was fun. I did some fun things, but the end of my vacation, the end trip that I had planned to go see my daughter and stuff, my car decided that it didn't want to make the trip, and I'm ready to push it in the ditch and shoot it. Take the plates off of it, put a couple rounds in it, and just walk away. But other than that, it's a great Monday. The snow's melting, it's getting a little warmer. Springtime is trying to sneak in.
That is true.
So
part of my job is to work on an unheated dock, and so when it's negative 20, it's very, very fun, but it's beginning to be manageable.
Yeah.
so anyway I kind of want to jump right into our topic for today. And I know that I posted on Facebook about an important announcement. I'm not going to say that right now, because then everybody that's here for the announcement is just going to turn us off. So you're going to have to sit through the entire show.
Right.
And I'm just going to randomly throw it out there. So
there you go.
You're all here. I'm just going to stop mid-sentence at some point in time. Like, here's the announcement.
Yep.
What a radio station, that mystery word, like it just suddenly comes up during the hours of like 2 to 4 p.m. or something like that.
Yep.
So that's like, this is going to be. So
when you hear the mystery word, the word for the day is Bobcat. Be the 966 texter. You can win a pair of tickets.
Okay, now that you brought that up, I'm going to tell a little story.
All right.
That has absolutely nothing to do with the topic for today.
Way to jump right in.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, but I have to because it's funny. But right. Jerry, who is the great radio host of The Calling every Wednesday night, him and I went to the Golden Corral on Saturday. And you know those people that have to tell you everything that they know about everything, even though, like, they don't know you and you don't know them?
I've met a few annoying individuals like that. Yeah.
Yes. So there was a guy there that was exactly like this. He was in front of me in line, and thankfully talked nonstop to the guy in front of me, not me. And I sat there being like, oh man, thank God that, better him than me. As selfish as that is. And I'm perfectly all right with that. So I go up to get my steak, and who is in front of me? That guy. I'm wearing my Bobcat pullover. So
yep.
I see him, like, I don't want to say checking me out, but like looking me over. Like, he's looking for something to talk to me about.
Yep.
And he sees Bobcat written across my pullover and tells me, starts talking to me about everything he knows about Bobcat. I'm like, Sorry. Okay, well,
that's mighty nice of him.
Yes. I learned more about positraction on bobcats in, you know, 5 minutes than I ever wanted to know in my entire life.
I was going to say, so how much of it was actually factual and how much of it was just made up to have a conversation?
Oh, I wouldn't even come close to knowing. It's not like I came home and go, you know what? I want to debunk that guy. I'm going to do research to see if what he told me is true.
My steak didn't taste as good after I had to get it, after I stood in line behind him. I'm going to find a reason to not like this guy.
No. Steak was good. Steak was good. I enjoyed it. Okay. To the show. Now that exit ramp has been taken, detour brought us back to the highway. So the topic that we want to discuss today, which I don't know exactly what it is for you, Dave, but it's very, very concerning to me. Like, I was shocked when I kind of realized everything.
Yep.
But it's the perception of the paranormal between the people who are in the paranormal and, like, normal society who really does not have our type of experiences. And this stemmed from, I hope none of you remember, because I certainly don't want to, but it stems from our Paranormal Feud episode. One of our questions, yeah, game show. Yeah. That's almost sound like a fleeting thought. Like, you're just like, game show.
Yep. Game show.
We did it. But one of our questions was, what is the most common type of haunt? And I asked everybody that was in the paranormal. I really didn't ask, like, anybody from work or anything, because I didn't know if they would understand the question or know the terminology or any of that. So I asked only paranormal type people. And of course I got intelligent, I got residual, I even got a couple. It's all the client's imagination. Normal things that you would expect to hear from paranormal people. Dave, on the other hand, posted a sign at work with our questions and a bunch of lines for people to put in their answers. Now, what shocked me is, you know, I did 38 people, so I think I had like,
And no paranormal type people. These were just general public that answered my questions.
Right.
Right. So we got to make sure that they understand the difference, because you went after mostly paranormal people and I went after people that were outside of the paranormal, just normal society.
Well, right. Because, I mean, we did want we wanted that variety.
Right.
You know, we didn't only want paranormal people. We wanted to get a
nice mix
selection. Exactly.
Yep.
I got obviously the intelligent. I got the residual. I think it was like 15 residual and 13 intelligent or something like that. Dave, on the other hand, had 18 demonics, which absolutely blew my. It became the number one answer. And yep. The thing is that demonic haunts are so rare that the fact that 18 people think that they're the most common is shocking to me, and very, very troubling, actually. So Dave and I kind of wanted to do a show about I guess the reality of the paranormal. Is that like a better? Well,
I would say the reality of what from our side, and then the misperception from the general public side, or misconception, okay, yes. Misperception. You know, I mean, and we're going to get into depth talking about it, but there's obviously some substantial reasons why I think the general public thinks that demonic hauntings are like a commonplace occurrence, you know, because that's a question I get a lot too from people that I know. They're like, well, geez, how do you deal with all those demonic haunts? And I'm like, you know, for all the years I've been doing this and all the people I've talked to and all the houses I've been to, I less than on one hand, I couldn't even count as many that I would call demonic haunts. It would be less than five out of 40 years. My house being one of them. So My old house. You know, yeah, my childhood house, yeah.
I'm like, Dave, you're holding out on me.
Yeah, that would be one of them. But...
No, and I agree. So let's start then with our side of it. You know, so you make it very, very, in 40 years, you've had, you know, less than five times, including the one that actually brought you into the paranormal.
Correct.
Demonic type haunts.
Correct.
I've been doing this 7 years and have zero. Thankfully, I've had a couple where it could possibly be it, like Rebecca and Dave's.
Yep.
But I don't believe that it was negative, sure.
Yeah.
But I believe it was a negative human spirit as opposed to anything demonic. But I did have that one down in not Wilmer. Down by Wilmer. I can't remember the name. But that might have been it. I mean, I think they did like a cleansing. They did like a home exorcism on it. I know that Kim from Cat Paranormal thinks that she got an EVP saying, "I like flesh." I don't necessarily agree with it, and she knows it. But it, you know, it is what it is. And that's it. I mean, everything else has been hunky dory. And I don't know. It confuses me.
But well, I'll say this while you're pondering there. number one, the longer that you're in this, and I know you're in it for the long haul, so eventually, and I'll say this up front regretfully, one of these days you're going to run into something really nasty.
Yes.
Something that's going to make you realize pretty much instantaneously what you're up against. It isn't going to be playing around, because demonic haunts, it isn't like a trickster type of thing. It isn't something that you are, you know, where you have to figure out what's going on and maybe you got an EVP and maybe they said something. No, you'll know. You're going to know, because you're going to get the full frontal assault the second you're there, because it doesn't want you there. It knows that you're a threat. It already is comfortable. It's already making itself kind of ingrained into the family or the individual. And it's not planning on leaving anytime soon. And it's going to let you know that right up front. And that's when you know that you're in for a fight.
Right. So my take on our question, because, I mean, I never bothered to answer it myself. But, you know, I really got to say that the number one type haunt, I think, is intelligent. I think if it's residual, I don't think it's even paid attention to as much as normal intelligent hauntings. Because, I mean, if it's just, if all anybody ever hears is some footsteps, chances are they're going to get used to it. You know, they might ask a question, you know, like, I've gotten messaged by people and they've been like, "Well, this is what's going on in my house." You know, and it's like footsteps and the occasional, like, they hear a door close. Like, that's it. I'm like, you know what? If that's all you're experiencing, you're pretty good. I would just ignore it. I'm like, obviously, if it escalates, you need to contact us immediately. Because that's obviously something else. But, I mean, residual stuff isn't going to harm you. It isn't going to interact with you whatsoever.
Nope.
And
it doesn't even know you're there.
Well, right. I mean, it has no consciousness to it whatsoever.
No, none whatsoever.
And it's, yeah, I need to ponder a little bit more.
All right. Well, while you're pondering, I would agree with you that I think intelligent is probably the biggest haunts that we run into. You know, when you get intelligent responses on EVPs, when you ask for a flashlight to get turned on for yes and no questions, or a K2 for yes and no questions, and you're getting visual feedback for yeses, and it's different for noes, and you have some factual data going into your investigation, and you ask those questions to back up the factual data, and you get a response that is exactly the same as the factual data, it's pretty hard to dismiss that. I mean, that's a pretty rock solid intelligent haunt.
No, yeah, I agree. So I think I just realized why I'm having such a difficult time with my pondering. And I have so much that I want to convey, and I'm trying to do it in a layman's terms and like intelligent way. And I just want to like spit out a whole bunch of facts. And I'm like, that's what's, it's keeping me from, it's blocking me from having any sort of, intelligent type thought. But yeah, so, and I think that trying to keep the two separated, like the paranormal side and the society side, is also, so I is also giving me some grief because I'm trying to keep them separated and we really can't.
Right.
So bringing in the society side, and I, you know, there's so much crap right here that, in society in generally, where they want to blame video games, and they want to blame movies, and they want to blame, you know, violent, you know, music videos and that for all the society's problems.
Yeah.
But I honestly believe that movies and TV shows like the Demon Files and Ghost Adventures, you know, especially now, because just this week everybody is all up in arms because Zach Bagans released his Demon House documentary.
I saw that. I mean,
they had movie premieres, and you know, everybody was doing it on demand, and you know, people were, I saw tons and tons of people showing video clips from their phone of, you know, like the emblem shooting across their TV because they were about to watch it. And everybody in society gets blasted with negative demonic haunts because that's what sells. You know, nobody cares about doors opening and closing and footsteps walking up and down the hallway. They want crap flying across the room, and they want you know, visual evidence of you know, black masses and stuff that freak them out.
Yeah, scratch. Yeah. You know, everybody wants to see somebody get scratched.
Yeah, and I just, maybe that's why it troubles me so much, is because we've become in society, and now it's merged into the paranormal, where people get entertained by watching others suffer.
Yep.
And that troubles me to no end, because it's really not, that's not how it should be. I mean, yes, that is a risk. It is absolutely a risk when you get into the paranormal that at some point in time, you are probably going to get scratched. You are probably going to get attacked. You know, we were at Farrar, not doing any, you know, just doing a normal session, not provoking, not being disrespectful. Josie's sitting in the middle of the room, and she gets a scratch right up her stomach. I mean, yep. it's like what, 5 inches long?
Yep.
And it's troubling to me that, you know, you could take that one instance, and that's the only instance that I think I've even, you got scratched from Dave and Rebecca's.
Yep.
That was it.
Yep.
And it wasn't even that bad. It was on, you know, your under your forearm. I, yep. I, you know, I still have the photo of it.
Yep.
And like, that was it. Until in 7 years, I've encountered twice where anybody has even been physically, like physically type.
Marked. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Marked. I guess that, I don't want to say attacked, because I have had investigators feel nauseous right. to the point where they threw up, you know, right. that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, marked is the best term. Twice in 7 years. And, you know, it's never happened to me, even though, and I'm very, very lucky on that. And I'm sure one day it's going to. I mean, Dave, you and I, we tried to get me scratched.
I was going to say,
at some point,
Allen's Theater, we were desperately trying to get you attacked by the guy downstairs. So,
but did not happen.
No, nope.
I didn't. Maybe I didn't say the right things. I don't know. I'm not.
Should have called him a noob.
A noob? No. Well, that was his word.
No, I know. You should have used it back on him, though. I probably would have got him mad enough to scratch you.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, I didn't know that he had called, you know, the other Mike of Rube at the time.
Yeah, that's right. Rube. So, yep.
Rube. Dumber than a Rube, kid. Yeah. What a great EVP. So, anyway.
All right, so I'm going to chime in here for a second while you're...
No, absolutely, you're thinking. Do it.
All right, so I want to point this out because you already mentioned it, so I'm reiterating it a little bit, but one of my examples for this was going to be Ghost Adventures. So if you take a look from the start of Ghost Adventures, like the first couple seasons, that, you know, and I didn't go back and look at every one, but from my memory, I don't think there was anything like demonic or anything even remotely close to demonic. They were basically just trying to show proof that there was life after death and trying to capture a ghost image or great type of evidence and just present it for what it was. And that's for the first, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years, that's what it was. If you look at the show today, I would say that probably half of the season, if not more, has got a really dark tone to it, and it's always about who's getting attacked and who followed who home, and, you know, Jesus, there's a demon here and we need to get an exorcism, and it's turned to this that they should change the name of the show, honestly. It should be called like Demon Adventures or something.
Just thinking Demon Adventures, yeah.
Because honestly, and so, you know, it's an extremely popular show. Zach is an extremely popular guy. And so when you take a look at that for the general public, that's what they're seeing. You know, that's what they're watching. So you no longer have, you know, PRS, you know, so they were the opposite. They're like what we are. You know, we go in there and try to help families and take care of the situation. Whereas Ghost Adventures, I can't even think of maybe a handful of times they ever tried to help a family and actually did something to help them. You know, they're more about just finding the evidence and moving on and finding more evidence. You know, so there's not a lot of shows. I mean, now I guess you could take like Kindred Spirits that's out. You know, they have the same kind of mentality we have. So they're going into homes and trying to solve what's wrong and helping the clients. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else is out there that's doing that right now.
Dead Files.
Yeah, Dead Files. Right. You know, so you got Dead Files. So there are a couple shows that offset it, but the glamour shot is the demonic show.
Yep.
You know, the scary movies that you go see, they all have some sort of demonic entity or demonic presence in them. You know, one of the best shows, one of the best movies, in my opinion, best two movies, a horror movie wise in the last decade would be Conjuring 1 and Conjuring 2. And they're great movies, but they both have very visual demonic type entities. You know, and they're scary. I mean, that demonic nun in The Conjuring 2, that's creepy as hell. You know, I mean, I don't care who you are. You take a look at that demonic nun, that's creepy as hell. When I went and saw that movie, I was like, holy, that's gonna burn an image in my head for like 6 months now. Every time I turn around, I'm going to see a shadow. I'm going to think it's a damn nun's going to appear out of the wall or something, you know. So it lasts with you. And I think it's those things that are really, that grab you like that. They overpower anything else that might be happening that isn't of the demonic nature. And you look at it and you go, yeah, yeah, okay. But that's not what sticks with you. The simple little things, the ma and pa things, they don't stick with you. You know, it's the big boom, you know, this big production or big event or whatever. Those are the ones that stay in everybody's minds, I think.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You know, there's the phrase sex sells. You know, everybody agrees with that. Everybody uses it. That's what they bring in. In the paranormal now, it seems that demonic sells. You know, you look at, you know, as you mentioned, Ghost Adventures. I can't even watch the show now. You know, I have the the strategy where I will watch it until Zach or somebody does something completely stupid or reckless, and then I have to shut it off.
Right.
And I typically can't get past 22 minutes. And, you know, they go in and they provoke. And the thing is that even Aaron has admitted, you know, on podcasts and whatnot, that if producers don't feel like they're getting enough activity, they'll make them go back in and reshoot and act.
Right.
Like something's happening.
Right.
Their half of their show is completely made up, but it sells because everybody wants to believe that that is what's going on. And everybody's, I used to live tweet them while I was watching their show. And yep. it wasn't to say good job. It was pretty much to point out every error that they're making and thank them for setting the paranormal field back 10 years. But I see all of the other tweets and everybody else besides me is like, oh my God, aren't you guys scared? I could never do that. Oh my God, how could you even stay? I'm like, there's nothing going on here, people. I'm like, right. They're completely acting. Because Nick Groff, and I had a hard, hard time forgiving him when he moved off of that show. It's better now. You could easily tell the difference between a real experience and a fake one when it came to him.
Yep.
Because he would stay in the room and he'd be like, I feel a negative presence right here. And he would wave his hand in front of like a closet door. But if he had an actual experience, he was out that door in a heartbeat, like pacing back and forth. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like he was like hyperventilating.
Right.
But in, you know, and Zach and Aaron, I don't know. I don't know if that is all acting or if he's like Chad, where, you know, yeah, he's a little scared, but he's like exaggerating it a little bit.
Yeah.
But Zach, you can absolutely tell that at least half the stuff that he does is fake. And especially since, like, Aaron will be like, oh, I feel something. Zach's like, yeah, I do too. Oh my God, I can't stand it anymore. Yeah, you know, it's terrible. And that's what people watch. And when that happens week after week after week after week, and that's all they see, and then the movies come out and that's all they see, what are they going to believe?
Right. So now move that forward, and then we'll jump back, but move that forward for a second, right? And so now, somebody who's been watching these shows for the last 2-3 years has something odd happen in their new house that they just moved into that was built in the '20s. Okay.
Yep.
And all of a sudden there's like a creak on the floor, or there's a door closes, or it sounded like a door closed, or it sounded like a kitchen cabinet closed, or whatever. It, you know, the first thing that comes to their mind, it's demonic. Not that it could be the old homeowner who built the house originally, and it's just a residual type of thing, and they're still there, you know, or that, you know, it's the wife who used to bake all the time, and she's still around, and it's Grandma, an intelligent haunt. Right, it's an intelligent haunt, but she's just there to hang out in the kitchen and make pies, and she's happy that somebody moved into the house who has kids because she wants to be a grandma, you know? But that doesn't sell. That's the problem. That's not going to sell anything.
And this is where my stubbornness, I've realized, Dave, that I am a paranormal prude.
Yeah, I would agree with you. In a nice way. But I agree with you.
No. I agree. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just very, very, integrity based. I want to say, and I'm a half hypocrite as well. That bothers me. But you know, it's just.
I would say that you're unwilling to move out of your belief zone, if you want to call it that. You know, like you've established this zone. And that's what your core values are, and that's what your belief is. And so for you to go outside of that zone makes you uncomfortable. And so you don't do it.
It makes me feel like a traitor. It really does.
Well, I mean, that's why. I mean, whatever, however you feel, it's that's your area. And when you have to step outside of it, you're uncomfortable.
Right. You know right. It's just that, and quite frankly, I can blame you for this because you trained me.
So yeah,
you gave me this mentality.
That's fine. I got big shoulders. I'll take it.
I know. I had no doubts, but I go into all of these places, even somewhat negative ones, even though I'm a little bit more aggressive on those, like if the kid's being attacked or something like that. But I go in respectful. I try to treat them like people, and I get really good results. They tend to listen to me. I think I've helped a lot of people just because of just talking and trying to be respectful of old homeowners and just saying, look, you know, this family's scared. They don't understand what you're trying to do. If you could just leave them alone, hey, you know, they're more than happy to let you live alongside them. And like that, everybody win. And that typically works. So to see that type of mentality and helping people, which I believe the paranormal field should be, and everything else really should be left alone. And, you know, how would you feel if, you know, a camera crew and whatnot came into your home and yelled at you and called you names and you would be very disrespected. You would be very upset. And
that's a good point. So I just want to chime in for a second. Sure. So I didn't even think of that, but that's a great point because you know what? So when I pass away, all right, if somebody comes into my house and has a bunch of, you know, and for whatever reason, you know, that they, you know, what I'm still around or whatever, I decide not to move on. I'm going to hang out, watch over my girls or whatever. And somebody comes into my house and wants to do an investigation and they come in with an attitude where they're aggressive and provoking and they're trying to get a response. I guarantee you, I'm going to give them a response. Even though I'm not demonic and I'm not evil, I guarantee you somebody's getting scratched. Somebody's getting thrown down the stairs. I'm going to break every piece of equipment I can just because. And it just made me think of that when you said that, right? So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was saying, and that's the problem because that's what people want.
But who's to say, though, that some of these things that are happening don't happen and it's just an intelligent haunt and somebody who feels disrespected and finally says, you know what, I've had enough of this crap. I'm going to do something about it. And takes a piece of equipment and throws it across the room, right? I mean, and I would not consider that to be a demonic haunt at all.
No.
But there's a lot of people who probably would. It takes a lot of energy to pick up a piece, a K2, and throw it 20 feet, you know? So a lot of people would be scared by that because they're like, oh, my God, there's something super powerful here. Well, sure there is. There's a homeowner who passed away who's still hanging around to watch over his family, and you're making him upset.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I just, I'm trying not to go off on tangents here and it's not working, which is, so
commercial time then.
It is commercial time because yeah. now that I have mentioned going in and messing with, you know, intelligent spirits that are at a location, and it doesn't even have to be a private home.
No,
you can go into Farrar. And if you want to be a jackhole to the students there, just so you get a response, that's not cool. You know, if you go into Edinburgh or the Grand Opera House and you're a jackhole because you want to have all these experiences, you know, that's not cool.
And I will tell you this, you go into Farrar with a bad attitude and a provoking type of attitude, and you're going to get a response.
You will get a response.
Yes, you will. I guarantee you that.
You probably will not like it.
And you will not like it. You can ask the lady who sat out in her car at the last investigation because she was so damn freaked out that she did not come back in the building for a day.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to go to commercial, and then we're going to be back with the second part of this topic. You're listening to The Odyssey Files on Para X.
Oh, hey Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi, Heidi.
Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention?
Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling. The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on
Para X. Hi, this is Elizabeth Saint, and you're listening to Mike and Dave, my fourth favorite paranormal radio show, guys. Duo? Guys. Whatever, it doesn't matter. They're moving up in the ladder. And I love you.
Hey there. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great new radio show on Para X. Two hosts, 1 hour, and too much fun. Stephanie and Heidi not only talk about the latest goings-on in the supernatural worlds, they live it. They want to hear from you. They want to help you understand and guide you. And they want you to tune in. So, grab a friend or come alone to gather around that metaphysical table with Heidi and Stephanie. If you're interested in the worlds of the unseen, tune in to The Gathering Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Para X Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para X. Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
Hey, this is Grant Wilson from Ghost Hunters, and if you ever have time that you never want to get back, spend it listening to Mike and Dave on the Odyssey Files.
Ah, Mr. Grant Wilson. I do enjoy that man. Like he said, you were listening to Mike and Dave on the Odyssey Files, which I just said like 2.5 minutes ago. So the second part of our topic is deals more with the risks of what we do. And in conjunction with the whole provoking thing and going into people's homes and whatnot, what it can lead to. And so this part of the topics had two different reasons. One was a recent episode of the Dead Files concerning the Palmer House, which is here in Minnesota, about 2.5 hours outside the Twin Cities. And they've been doing events and ghost tours. They had ghost adventures there, like what, 5-6 years ago, doing investigations. And suddenly activity had an uprisal. There had been more and more severe. And so instead of calling in a local team, called in naturally a big name TV crew to bring in theirs to quote unquote solve the issue. And during the reveal, Amy Allen, who like me does not particularly like or enjoy people messing with the dead, at least in a negative way. I have heard a couple times her talk about how people are just trying to help, you know, whether they're trying to be respectful, and she doesn't seem to mind that too much. But when you're exploiting them, as such places do, she's not okay with that. Neither really am I. but she mentioned to the owner that they were having a ghost tour, and asked how long, you know, they've been doing that, gave the wrong number. But then she was asked how that had not come up so far in their investigation. Her response was she did not feel that bringing in teams and having these events had anything to do with the uprisal and activity.
Right. That none of that was a contributing factor.
I keep forgetting how she phrased it. Contributing factor. Yes. Right.
Yep.
That she did not think that was a contributing factor. For anybody, whether they're a paranormal investigator, whether they're a amateur ghost hunter, whether they think that the paranormal is just very, very cool and entertaining, understand this. And I can't be more serious than I am right now. Everything that we do to them affects activity. Everything. So we need to be very, very careful as to what we do and what we say. And I think that because of the loose tongue of Mr. Zach Bagans and the, you know, movies and whatnot, people have come to think that is how we are all supposed to act. And it's not. It's not even close. You're going to get activity whether you do it or not. It just depends on what you leave behind. So if I were to go into a home trying to help this family, and I'm trying to collect evidence for them, and I do so in a disrespectful and provoking manner, and yes, I get my evidence, I get something thrown at my head, you know, and I catch it on tape, or I get EVP saying, get out, or, you know, I'm going to kill you. Yeah, that's great. That's great evidence. But what do you leave behind? You get to leave. Then the family has to come back. And what did you just do? You got all this evidence, but you left them as sitting ducks.
Right. You made a mess is what you did.
Yeah, you made a mess. And I have been turned. I've had investigations at like public and historic places scheduled. You know, they're like, yeah, come on in. But in between that time that they say, come on in, and the time when I was supposed to actually do it, they brought in other teams. And those teams decided to be reckless and move stuff that they weren't supposed to and try to get this evidence. And now they're not allowing any investigations ever again. And I can no longer come in, and it ruins it for everybody. We can all get evidence. You don't need to provoke to get it. It may not be like the humongous, like, you know, something thrown at your head type experience, but you're going to get answers to your questions. You're going to catch, you know, EVPs of spirits talking to each other about you. You can get it being respectful.
Right. You might get a photo op. You know, there's a lot of times we've caught pictures of kind of unique anomalies and stuff like that. And there was no provocation going on. It was just normal conversation and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can mess with you. You know, I tell this to all of my new investigators before I even allow them on the team, just to make sure that they understand what they're getting themselves into. And that is, these spirits can mess you up.
And
not only can they mess you up, they mess with your families.
Yep, they do.
They mess with your friends.
Yep.
They mess with your life because you did that to them.
Right.
And if you're lucky enough not to experience it, be thankful. But for the people that have, I don't think that an EVP was worth it to them. You know?
No, I would agree. And I tell you what, I wish there was a way to put together like a site that a legitimate site, you know, with verified type of testimonials of people who went on these, like, and I'm this is the word that's in my mind, so I'm going to throw it out there, but I'm saying it in air quotes, kind of joy hunting for spirits, you know, for ghosts.
Thrill seeking. Yep.
You know, thrill seekers, joy hunters, and they go out and they've seen the shows and they're like, yeah, I'm going in there and I'm going to really let them have it. And I'm going to, call them every name in the book, and I'm going to tell them what a worthless SOB they are, and all this stuff. And then they leave, and they go have a couple of drinks at the bar or whatever, and they're laughing and joking about what a great time they had, and then somebody got shoved down the stairs and how cool that was, and somebody got a scratch on their neck and how cool that was, and they're all having a good time, and then they get home, and they, you know, ready to crash and lay down in bed, and all of a sudden the room gets cold, and all of a sudden there's a very disturbing feeling surrounding you, one that makes you sit up in bed like you were 3 years old and you were scared looking for your mom and dad because something is really freaking you out. But the problem is your mom and dad ain't around because you're an adult, and now you're on your own, and now you've got this thing in your house who is taking pleasure in returning the favor of what you just did. And I'll tell you what, when you have something like that follow you home and you don't sleep for 2 or 3 months because you're freaked out every time you lay down, or you're sleeping with the lights on like you're 4 years old and you still can't get much sleep because stuff's still happening, you won't think it was very funny when you look back at that moment you were laughing about somebody getting shoved down the stairs and somebody getting scratched in the neck. It isn't very funny anymore. And I wish there was a site that had like legitimate documented testimonials of people that happened to, because everybody I know that's interested in the paranormal, I would refer them to that site. And I'd say, you go study that site, and until you can reiterate to me 10 occurrences that are on that site, I'm not even going to talk to you about the paranormal. Because I want you to know this is what really happens. And this is what you're stepping into. And if you still want to do it, that's fine. But be prepared, you know?
And that's why I say you have to really be careful what you say. Because intent in the paranormal is like 9/10 of the law. Mm-hmm. If you go into a place like Edinburgh, place like Farrar, any sort of, even a normal home, and you say something like, you know, why don't you attack me? Once you give that invitation for them to interact with you physically or in any sort of way, they can attach themselves to you and they can go anywhere you go. Yep. They can come into your work. They can do whatever you want because you gave them permission to do so.
Yep.
And that is what I think a lot of people do not understand when this happens. Now, that depends on the spirit. If the spirit just considers you a jerk and says he's going to be gone here in a couple minutes, I'm just going to sit back and let him do his thing, and then he's going to be gone, you're lucky.
Yep.
But if you get the spirit that is like, this guy is a jackhole, I'm going to teach him a lesson, they got nothing but time on their hands.
I would say
time means correct. Nothing to them.
Nope.
So if they want to mess with you for 6 months in your own home, they can do it because, again, you gave them permission to do it.
Right.
And in fact, I want to quickly reiterate the story before we get to our main example that Dave and I were talking about. Back when I first started with Dave and Steve with Moon Dance Paranormal, we decided to have a picnic to get all the teams in the Twin Cities area together. To try to kind of form like a friendship, so to speak. I mean, a lot of people knew each other anyway, but we wanted all the teams to get together.
Yep.
And Dave, you weren't able to attend that one, but I think you've heard this story, if anything, from me.
Yep.
Because it still rings in my head to this day, and this was, you know, seven years ago. The three guys from a team called Sanity Check, which I absolutely love that name still to this day. They came and they were in the middle of a break, and they were in the middle of a break because they went to an investigation in Edina, which is in the southern cities, and they weren't really getting very much. So they decided to provoke. They decided to, you know, you're an a-hole, blah, blah, what's the matter? Can't you do this? You know, why don't you do this? And they left. And that next morning, I believe, one of the guys is laying in bed hears footsteps. It has hardwood floors. Hears footsteps coming down the hallway. Thinks it's one of his kids. They come. He's still got his eyes closed. He's hearing the footsteps. They come around to his side of the bed and they just stop. He opens his eyes. There's nobody there. So he's like, well, I'm not going to say anything, you know, and I think he went to work or he went somewhere. When he got home a few hours later, his wife asked him if he had brought something home with him. He asked her why. She said, because after he had left, she was laying in bed still. She heard footsteps come up to her side of the bed, and then the bed depressed so much so that she actually rolled into it, and it was purely cold. Pure cold. And she was freaked the F out. He got an email, I think, either later that day or the next day from another one of the team members that were there. He had a similar experience. They then contacted the third person that was there and was like, has anything happened to you? And she's like, no. Like, well, get ready because it's coming. 2 days later, she wrote down she had the same experience. This entity followed every single one of them home just to teach them a lesson of I can get to you. They decided to take a break after that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they ever returned to investigating. Everything that you do when it comes to the paranormal affects everyone around you, especially you. And our last example, and Dave brought this up, about Steve Huff.
Yep.
So why don't you?
Well, and I haven't done a ton of research, so I'm just going to tell you what I read. But Steve is, you know, probably a lot of people know he was big into making devices and stuff to communicate with the dead, and he was big into doing EVPs and stuff like that. And he had been for years and years. And just recently, within the last 6 months, he pretty much made a public statement and said that he was leaving the field and that he was never going to investigate again. And he wasn't going to, be designing equipment or anything else along those lines. And when asked why that was, his basic response was that he has had so many dead people following him and being in his presence and attaching themselves to him that it's overwhelmed his life, basically. It's just become so monumental that that's all it is, and that's not what he wants.
Yeah. And when Dave told me that, my initial reaction was purely, well, that's what you get when you drive through the cemetery every single morning with your spirit box going, trying to get spirit
Communication.
Responses.
Right.
Trying to get communication.
Yep.
You know, and I don't think he was ever I stopped watching his videos years ago. He did something I absolutely did not agree with, and I stopped following him or paying any attention to him whatsoever after that. But you know, and it's not like he was all that he wasn't disrespectful. You know, he was just like, hey, how's it going this morning and how you doing? That kind of thing. But when you can every single day open up the door for spirits to come in,
right?
No matter how good you are, they're going to keep coming in.
Right.
And it again, just goes to reiterate the fact of even though they're not demonic and that, you know, there's the correlate, they're not demonic. They're human spirits.
Right. They're human spirits. Yep.
But people need to understand that actual demonic cases are so rare that, you know, you're looking at The Conjuring. Both those demonic cases were back in the 70s.
Right.
You know, you don't have movies like The Exorcist and coming from, well, this happened in 2010. You don't.
Nope.
And I think people just need to be aware that knocks, bangs, doors close, that doesn't mean that it's a demon.
Right.
It just means you might have activity. Don't get me wrong, but you know, as Dave, as you said earlier, former homeowner, just trying to do their thing.
Right.
And it's how you, interpret that is really going to make the difference. You can either make things better or you can make things far worse.
Right. And I'm going to throw this in there real quick. One way that you can keep yourself potentially or relatively safe from any type of dark or evil or demonic haunting, and I'll throw the three of those together, even though they're three different things, I'm going to put them all together, is to stay away from things like Ouija boards, stay away from, trying to do communication and talk and conjuring type of things. Stay away from dark magic and stay away from people that are doing it. You know, you don't have to be the one trying to conjure something up. If you're in the room when that, if they're successful and they do conjure something up, that entity is going to see everybody who's in the room. I've said this a million times and Mike knows it's the honest to God truth. Once you're seen, you're always seen. There is no more hiding. So, just be careful.
Yeah.
Just be smart. Be smart and be careful.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, time means nothing to them. You know, I've seen tons of cases where people are in their 40s experiencing like negative activity, and it stems from when they did a Ouija board session when they were 13.
Right.
They got nothing but time. I hope you guys can just stay safe out there. You know, if you're going to go to events, try to make sure that they are hosted by people who believe in being respectful. And everybody's entitled to a gimmick if they want one. But I mean, like if you're going to an event, you know, that's sponsored by the Paranormal Commandos, chances are, you're probably not going to want to do that. So just stay safe, stay respectful, watch what you say and protect yourself.
Yep.
So I didn't do it right in the middle of a sentence because it was very important sentences. They were very important sentences that were coming out.
Yep.
So the announcement for anybody that is still here, Dave and I are moving to the 7 to 8 o'clock hour. So we're going to be on 1 hour later starting next week.
Yep.
Tonight, obviously, you know, Monday nights. We have been offered a chance to move, and it just, we want to have as many people able to listen as possible, especially with a lot of the really, really good shows we have coming up for you. So starting next week, we are going to be on at 7 o'clock Central, 7 to 8. So obviously 8 to 9 Eastern, and I'm not even going to go into what California time is. That's a big announcement.
Perfect.
So sorry
drive,
for the, though. Yeah. So that's a big announcement for today. We are going to have hopefully some more big announcements coming up, here in the next week or two. But next week, is our 1 year anniversary. We are going to be kicking off our new hour, and our new year, with Ken Bogle, who, as anybody who has listened to Parax, he's been a guest on many a shows. So we're looking forward to talking with him. But shows coming up, we have Dana Mitchell coming back, Dustin Perry, Chris Fleming is going to be coming back again. Haunt Me. I honestly don't know anything about him yet. So right. Except that I have a great way of messing with him, which I will be doing. Quite gleefully.
And if Chad has his ghostly encounter, we get the scoop.
Oh, yes.
We get the scoop.
If Chad Lindbergh
sees
a spirit, which I guess he hasn't yet because I haven't seen anything.
Nope, he hasn't.
Sees a spirit. He's going to be back.
Yep.
Keep listening.
He'll be back anyway. But, I mean, he's going to be back just to talk about that episode in his life. So. Yeah.
Exactly. Also, really quick, I just want to say, with Dave's idea, if anybody has a story, they went to an event and got messed with after they left. If anybody has that story that they want to share, go to my website, odysseyparanormalsociety.com. Click on the contact page and send me that story. And if I get enough of them, I will create a page on my website specifically for that. Because I firmly believe, Dave, that is a phenomenal story. You know, people have testimonial. I have testimonials on my site right now about you know, families that I helped. You know, I want people to see that, you know, we do try to help and we're successful at it. But I think for the people who just go to the site for the videos and for the evidence, they need to also see the dangers involved.
Yep.
So agree. If anybody wants to send me those stories, I will post them for everybody to see. With that does it for Dave and I. So we're going to be on next week, 7 o'clock Central, and Mr. Ken Bogle will be our guest. So I'm looking forward to that. So for Dave and I here at the Odysseyfiles, we bid you good night.